ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 26। न बुद्धि भेदं जनयेत् अज्ञानं कर्म संगिनाम् जोषयेत् सर्वकर्माणि विद्वान् युक्तः समाचरन्। Translation: So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vedaishya sarvair ahameva vedya. This is the end of all Vedic rituals. All rituals, all performances of sacrifices, and everything that is put into the Vedas, including all direction for material activities, are meant for understanding Krishna, who is the ultimate goal of life. But because the conditioned souls do not know anything beyond sense gratification, they study the Vedas to that end. But through fruitive activities and sense gratification regulated by the Vedic rituals, one is gradually elevated to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding, but he should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna. The learned Krishna conscious person may act in such a way that the ignorant person working for sense gratification may learn how to act and how to behave. Although the ignorant man is not to be disturbed in his activities, a slightly developed Krishna conscious person may directly be engaged in the service of the Lord without waiting for other Vedic formulas. For this fortunate man, there is no need to follow the Vedic rituals, because by direct Krishna consciousness, one can have all the results one would otherwise derive from following one's prescribed duties. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. It's a very beautiful verse. Krishna is instructing Arjuna in exemplary behavior in this section of chapter 3. For the sake of both self-purification and also for the sake of inspiring others. A leader is one who decides what are the right things to do. And a manager is one who decides how to do things right. So, in this section, Krishna is especially instructing Arjuna to be an example as to what are the right things to do. Set the right priorities in life. Just like there was a troop which was chopping down a weed forest under the instruction of their so-called leader. But little did they realize that they were actually chopping down a very useful forest which was not at all weeds. So a manager may be very meticulous in deciding how to do things right, but it requires principle-oriented living to know what are the right things to do. So Krishna is here instructing Arjuna what the right things to do are. In fact, he has been instructing Arjuna in the right things to do, especially the process of Karma Yoga. And the basis of any yoga process is Brahman or transcendence, connection with the Supreme Transcendental Being. A yoga means to unite with the transcendental person. Just like if you have an electric wire, if you connect it to the electric source, every point on the electric wire will send you the message that comes from the source. Similarly, if the living entity is united in his desires, in his existence, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both in purpose and in details, then that is called union yoga. So Krishna is instructing karma yoga more particularly. The whole material world, as Prabhupada explained here, everyone is simply engaged in sense gratification. The nature of sense gratificatory desires is that the more you try to satisfy them, the more they increase. And at several places, this desire forest of sense gratification is considered to be like a forest on fire. And the more fuel you put into it, the more it burns. There's no chance of its getting extinguished. Srila Prabhupada was once told by a devotee that there is a new book that has come out, published. The title of the book is You Are Okay, I Am Okay. We are okay, you are okay. And Prabhupada immediately said, no, we are okay, you are not okay. So Prabhupada always wanted to remind us that things are not goody-goody in this material world, and we can see that. And things can never become goody-goody in this material world. There's always problem. Like, there's a true story. There was one Italian merchant, and he was so excited about being an owner of so many ships that he had made a rule. Any place that my yacht is parked at, there should be no other yacht. Mine should be the only one. So he sent out this instruction. And one day, he went to one of the islands on a pleasure trip. And on that island, he had one of his commanders, his captains. And he got out of his yacht, went on the island. And then he saw on the shore, there were two yachts, not one. He got very irritated. He told his captain, "Captain, you are fired." "Why, sir?" "I have given an instruction that there should be only one yacht, not two yachts. And that should be only my yacht. Only my yacht should be parked on the shore." And immediately the captain said, "Excuse me, sir, for your kind information, the second yacht is also yours. On your last previous vacation, when you came to the same island on a pleasure trip, you came in that yacht and parked it here and left it. So it's yours. So who's to be blamed? And since you had given us an instruction to keep your yacht as the only yacht, we never moved your yacht." So this material world is a place of contradiction. Something which we aspire for now becomes the most detestable object in due course of time. World is a place of contradictions. Therefore, there is no need to disrupt the minds of ignorant men, because their minds will be naturally disrupted. As Prabhupada says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of this material world is that there is bewilderment at every step. So you don't really have to disrupt the minds of ignorant people. Sometimes we get enthusiastic and we get into managing mode, and we may try to shake up a person by trying to make him realize or shouting into his ears that how he is engaged in everything wrong. Everything that he does is wrong. And not only does it confuse the person, he gets completely discouraged. So Krishna is not recommending a direct process of discouraging people. Of course, the instructions have to be given. Krishna's words have to be spoken. Srila Prabhupada would often say, "I am just repeating Krishna's words as they are. I am not concocting anything." But still, Prabhupada wanted devotees to be exemplary beacon lights for others to follow. Because the world is filled with people who are criticizing. The world is filled with people. The world is filled with people who are cheating, who are trying to pull each other's legs. Like, there is this folklore that a baker lodged a complaint against a farmer that this farmer doesn't provide me the equivalent weight which he promised. So he's supposed to provide me grains, supposed to provide me 10 kilos of grains, but he doesn't provide me 10 kilos. So they had an argument. The case went to the court. "Dear Lord," this baker said, "this farmer doesn't provide me the 10 kilos of wheat." And immediately the farmer raised his hand and he said, "Well, assuming that you send me 10 kilos of bread, I just weigh my grains against your bread and dispatch the equivalent weight. So immediately it dawned upon the baker, not dawned upon, he felt ashamed about the fact that he would himself send less than 10 kilos of bread, much against his promise. So this world is a place of cheaters and cheated. The baker was trying to complain against the farmer, but little did the baker realize that actually he is sowing the reward of his own deeds by cheating. And because of this tendency to cheat, it's so difficult to trust. It's so difficult to trust. The world is filled with cheaters and cheated, and everyone is thinking or waiting for an opportune moment to stab others on their back. Therefore, in this situation, what the world really needs is trustworthy devotees. Prabhupada said, a devotee is the only gentleman. He's the only person worthy of being trusted. And that's what Krishna wants Arjuna to be. A trustworthy individual. How can you trust a person? How can you trust a living entity? It's possible only if he trusts his eternal relationship with the Supreme. If a living entity is not on a platform of stability, how is it possible for him to make others stable? Like our Govinda Das says, Kamala Jala Dala Jeevana Talamala. Our life is like a drop of water tottering on a leaf. So how is it possible to become worthy of others' trust? One disciple, I think it was Pushta Krishna Maharaj, told Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, you are the only one in this world I trust. Prabhupada was such a humble, pure Vaishnava. And his reply was, don't trust me. I may let you down. Trust Krishna. Of course, because Srila Prabhupada trusted Krishna, because he was sold out to Krishna, he was the most trustworthy personality, devotee. But still, Prabhupada wanted to instruct devotees that never we should establish our friendship, our relationship with others, devoid of our relationship with Krishna. Because otherwise, it'll turn out to be as superficial as any other relationship. Like one devotee told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, when you go to people, approach them, should we just tell them that we are your best friends? Prabhupada said, no, don't give such promises. Rather, tell them that you are sent by their best friend, Krishna. Jai, Shishirada Gopinath Bhagwan ki, jai. You are sent by the most trustworthy friend, Krishna. And that is a platform on which pure relationships can hold. George Harrison, one of the most historical personalities, one of the leaders of Beatles, he was completely sold to the sincere mood of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malati Mataji, Yamuna Mataji, Gurudas Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj, Yamuna Maharaj, all of them, when they went to UK on a mission of making devotees, transforming the consciousness, churning the consciousness of people in UK, one of the personalities that they very boldly contacted was George Harrison at the Beatles. And the devotees, they were very simple. They were just going there as representatives of Srila Prabhupada. And George Harrison, his heart was very much touched by their sincere dedication at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, Shyam Sundar Prabhu recollects that George Harrison felt that there are so many bogus so-called acharyas, so-called saints who come there, come to the West just to get followers and money. And George Harrison admitted that in Srila Prabhupada, he found a person who was thoroughly genuine to the core. He had no intentions of trying to get a famous follower in the form of George Harrison. Srila Prabhupada never forced George Harrison to become a disciple. Never. I mean, in fact, George Harrison approached Srila Prabhupada. Please accept me as your disciple. Srila Prabhupada said, you're already initiated. Your name is Hari, son. You're the son of Hari. So what need is there for your initiation? You are already initiated. So because Prabhupada had absolutely no mood, had no intentions of deceiving anyone. Rather, he just wanted to give Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was once telling his disciples that the best time I had was when I came to New York initially with no one surrounding me. You know why? He asked his disciples. The disciples had their guesses. But Prabhupada explained that when I initially came, then I had no one to correct. I had no one to correct. I just was in the mood of giving you prasadam, giving you Hare Krishna. But in course of time, now I have a big organization. Prabhupada was not only a leader, as we said earlier, but he was also a manager. He had to manage. I mean, there was no one else capable of managing, especially in India, such a worldwide movement. But Prabhupada said, now it is so difficult. I have to correct people, and that is so difficult for me. So it used to pinch Prabhupada when he would correct others. That's what Prabhupada admitted. But he was doing it in the mood of service. So that was Prabhupada's genuine mood. And that attracted the heart of George Harrison so much. Of course, it didn't mean that Prabhupada wasn't expert at engaging George Harrison in service. He once told Shyamasundar Prabhu that we have to print copies of the book Krishna. So could you please approach George Harrison and ask him for a donation of some $100,000. I don't remember how many. Anyone remembers? Huh? $19,000. So Shyamasundar Prabhu, he was also not in that mood of approaching George Harrison for money. He had developed a relationship just as a friend. He had genuine appreciation for George Harrison. And George Harrison had genuine appreciation for Shyamasundar Prabhu. So he was very frightened. How would this work out? Would it strain our relationships? But Prabhupada instructed, no, it's my instruction, go and ask. So Shyamasundar Prabhu, he thought, okay, fine, Prabhupada wants, I'll do it. And then he sat with George Harrison in his royal hall. And they were chatting. And Shyamasundar Prabhu, in his own words, he thought of making Prabhupada the bad guy. And he said, George, Srila Prabhupada wants to print so many copies of the book Krishna. Would you like to make, can you make a donation? Can you sponsor the first so many copies of the book Krishna? $19,000. George was shocked. But so was the electric supply in that room. The room completely blanked out. Suddenly, tuck, electricity went off. And George was doubly taken aback. And after some time, few moments, the electricity came back. And George, he had a big smile on his face. He saw this as Krishna's arrangement. He saw this as God's sign. He said, yes. How much is it? Please repeat the amount. And he voluntarily agreed to give that amount. So, of course, when there is genuine love and care, the mission can spread far and wide. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in one of his initial adventures, Krishna conscious adventures, in fact, the first adventure, which was to go out, distribute books and collect funds, collect Lakshmi as donations. He came back and reported to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, this was, try to understand, this was after a long struggle they had in trying to run the temple. I mean, they had absolutely no money to pay the rent for the temple. And they used to work in very unfavorable circumstances, sometimes in mines, different places as workers. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was excited because this was such a nice way of getting donations. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, you know, today we sold books and we have collected so much donation. And Prabhupada said, it's very good you're distributing books. But money, don't worry. If Krishna wants, he can give you the whole world. He can give you the entire world. But do you know what to do with the world? So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood of just giving. And whatever would come, Prabhupada would just use it for others' service. In fact, Prabhupada wrote a very powerful letter, an extremely powerful letter to all temple presidents, an eye-opener. And Prabhupada said that there should be no difficulty in having prasadam, a 12-course meal, 24 hours a day for any guest who comes unplanned. It's so difficult to have 12-course meal for a Sunday feast. But Prabhupada wrote a letter. Krishna will provide. We should not be misers. Once in Mayapur, the devotees, again, they had this mood, we should collect funds. So they went to Srila Prabhupada. That Prabhupada, people come and keep their chappals at the stall before they take darshan. So when they keep their chappals at the stall, could we take a small token amount? Because we're going to maintain the chappals. Prabhupada said, no. Oh. And then the devotee said, okay, Prabhupada, maybe we'll not ask them, but we will encourage them. Maybe we'll put a small sign. Visitors are encouraged to give a small donation when they keep their chappals. Prabhupada got heavier. He said, no, Krishna is not a beggar. People who come here for darshan, they should have no inhibitions. They just come and take darshan. And Prabhupada said, if people come and they are very happy and they want to spread this happiness to others, then they will naturally help support the place. So anyways, I was trying to highlight the point that Prabhupada had the genuine mood of giving to others, not exploiting others. And once one imbibes his mood, others will feel the vibration. George Harrison, in his preface to the book Krishna, he says that everyone is looking for Krishna. Everyone is looking for Krishna. Devamrita Maharaj, in a lecture, he says that this body is so dear to us because this body is inhabited by the soul. And the soul is so dear because at the heart of the soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So because the Supreme Lord is at the heart of the soul and the soul is in this body, the body becomes dear to us. So we're actually searching for Krishna. We like this, we get attached to this body because ultimately there is the presence of Krishna Shakti. And therefore, when the body is devoid of the soul, like Radha Gopinath Prabhu explains, he visited one of his friend's wife, left his body. He made an overnight trip, went to the house, and the wife said, my wife asked, I am very frightened to sleep in this room, my husband's room today, tonight. Could you sleep here? And Radha Gopinath Prabhu was surprised. You're the wife, you slept with the same person for the last so many 25, 30 years. The wife said, yes, that may be true, but today I'm very frightened. You can't even stay in the same room. The room in which you spend all your life with that body, you can't spend a moment. You're so frightened. So what is it that makes this body valuable? Ultimately, it is the Lord and his portion. So actually everyone is searching for Krishna. Everyone is searching for rasa. Everyone is searching for that pulling energy. It's a pulling energy. So we have to be instruments in letting people access this pulling energy of the Lord. There's this beautiful story of the great South Indian Vaishnava saint, Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya, in his childhood, he was taught logic. So at one point of time, his guru was challenged by a great Digvijay Pandit, Kolahal. But Yamunacharya, in order to safeguard the prestige of his guru, out of loyalty, he challenged Kolahal in debate. And Kolahal was completely defeated by the small boy Yamunacharya. A beautiful drama was enacted by our devotees. Subsequently, half of the kingdom of the Chola king there was handed over to Yamunacharya, the small boy. So that was a condition that was put earlier by the king. The king and the queen had some argument and the king was willing to give half his kingdom. So Yamunacharya became a great king. And as it happens so often, because of being surrounded by wealth, Yamunacharya forgot, or apparently forgot, the teachings that he had imbibed in his childhood in the form of divine words of Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which we are reading today. His grandfather, Nath Muni, was a very great devotee and he was very much concerned for Yamunacharya. So when Nath Muni was about to leave his body, Yamunacharya was flourishing as a king. Nath Muni told his dear disciple Ram Mishra that I have a mission for you. My dear grandson Yamuna is completely forgotten the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, his eternal relationship with God. Kindly enlighten him. Now, it was a very challenging task to go and approach the king and to inspire him with Krishna consciousness. Generally, if you already know the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and someone comes to teach you, it's all the more difficult because you know. Like Prabhupada said, it's very difficult to wake up a man who's pretending to be asleep. Right? So Yamunacharya knew the teachings. It was a challenging task. So how does he inspire? So Nath Muni, because he genuinely cared for Yamunacharya, Krishna inspired in his heart a divine plan. He approached the cook of Yamunacharya. I have a very nice leaf by the intake of which Yamunacharya's memory will be sharpened. Our king is so busy, he has to remember so many things. So his memory needs to be sharpened and expanded. So here's this leaf called Thuduvalai leaf. Please cook a preparation with this Thuduvalai leaf. And Yamunacharya will be very much benefited. Our dear king will be very much benefited. So Yamunacharya was very lovingly served this Thuduvalai leaf. Yamunacharya loved it. But typically when we like something, we are not very grateful for it. So Yamunacharya kept having this Thuduvalai leaf day after day. And Ram Mishra knew exactly what was required to make Yamunacharya realize what he was having. So one fine day, Ram Mishra didn't go to the chef of Yamunacharya. Immediately, that same day, Yamuna asked, why is the preparation tasting so different today? I don't find that same taste. The cook said, every day, a wonderful saint would come and give some Thuduvalai leaf for you. He didn't come today. Yamuna gave the order. Tomorrow when he comes, bring him to me. I'd like to meet him. So the next day, Ramishtra turned up because it was his divine plan. And immediately the cook said, Yamunacharya, the king wants to meet you. So Ramishtra was very happy. He happily met the king. And the king asked, what is it that you give every day? This is Thuduvalai leaf. I'm so grateful to you, the king told him. And then Ramishtra said, actually, I am a disciple of your grandfather. And he has left a great inheritance, a treasure for you. Would you like to get access to that? And Yamunacharya was very happy. He thought, yes, I have so much wealth now. And because I have so much wealth, I'm being attacked from all sides. So this is the nature of this material world. That the more wealth you have, just like the saying is, wealth brings you to your friends and poverty brings your friends to you. Right? So when you're poor, your genuine friends will approach you. But when you're rich, you will go to your friends, people whom you really care for. Anyways, so the nature of this world is that when someone is very rich, it becomes very frustrated. There are many millionaires in the US who have won money through lottery system. $30 million, $60 million. And many of them have to confess that this is the worst thing to happen in your life, that you win such a big lottery. Because suddenly so many friends turn up. People whose faces you haven't seen know your entire life history. So it becomes so frustrating. One person, he administered poison. Another person, he just shot himself because he was so frustrated. So he thought, I'm being attacked from all sides. But now is the time to get more wealth. Because with this wealth, I'll protect myself from all sides. So he told he very eagerly told Ram Mishra, yes, yes, I would like to get this wealth. Like Prabhupada was once joking with the bank manager at Punjab National Bank. They were having nice joke, very nice jokes. Opening ceremony of Punjab National Bank at Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was telling a joke that once a person went to a cashier and kept some coins in front of the cashier. And the cashier stared at this man. What are you doing with these coins here? And this person kept staring. And immediately, this cashier drew the money and pulled it on his side. So this person on the other side was bewildered. He said, I have heard that money draws money. So how is it that I lost all my money? And the cashier said, yes, money draws money, but my big money has drawn your small money. All the money on my side. So this is the nature of this material world. There is no satiation when it comes to material desires. Kama dinam katina karida palita durnideshas. It's just burning like a fire. So Yamunacharya, he wanted more wealth. But little did he know the divine trap into which he was falling. So Ramishra said, the thing is, this wealth is hidden far, far away. We have to walk to that place. He said, fine, I'll bring my entire army. No, you have to come alone with me. We have to walk all the way. He said, okay, anything for that, for the sake of the wealth. They walked together. And all along the way, Ramishra was beautifully reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the divine words of Krishna. And when Yamunacharya kept hearing them, Ramishra was not preaching. He was just trying to reinvoke the wonderful treasure house of Krishna consciousness that was lying buried in the heart of Yamunacharya. Immediately remembered. And especially when he came to a particular verse, I think in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I don't remember. When Nath Muni started reciting, immediately, Ramishra started reciting, immediately, Yamunacharya was so inspired. And he said, mai sarvani that offer everything to me. Mat sarvasya mat paraha ananye naiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. So Krishna is saying that just offer everything to me. At that point, Yamunacharya decided, yes, I will offer everything to Krishna. I'll give up everything. Nath Muni said, no. We have set out on a mission. We have to accomplish that mission. We have to find that treasure. So saying, they set out on the journey the next day. And then they kept walking and walking. And then Ramishra had described the treasure. The treasure was surrounded by 7 gates, 7 walls. And it was protected by a serpent, a divine serpent. And there was a person, a personality who would visit once every 12 months or something like that. So anyways, when finally Ramishra took Yamunacharya, Yamunacharya realized this treasure is none other than the supreme treasure, Lord Ranganath, who was lying in a yoga nidra position under Anantashesh in the city of Srirangam. So in this way, because of the expertise and because of the sincere desire of Ramishra, and because Krishna sitting in the heart of Ramishra was giving divine inspiration, Yamunacharya was rescued from a very difficult or near impossible situation. So the people we might try to inspire in our lives may or may not be as difficult cases as Yamunacharya. Of course, Yamunacharya was a great acharya. But still, one very important lesson we learn from this is that if one maintains very good sadhana, maintains purity, and surrenders his life at the lotus feet of his guru, Krishna can make us an instrument as needed. That was the glory of Ramishra. He became an instrument in the hands of his guru Maharaj, in the hands of Krishna. Like Narad Muni, we find in so many places, he becomes an instrument in the hands of Krishna. We find in the 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the unfortunate position of Maharaj Prachini Parishad. He is very intelligent. He wants to take VRS. He's a king, but he wants to voluntarily retire and dedicate the rest of his life in yoga. With this thought in mind, he sends his sons, the Prachetas, to do austerity. Why? Tapo Divyam. Do divine austerities and get Shuddhyet Tasmat. Get purified so that you can rule over the kingdom. It was very intelligent move. But unfortunately, Maharaj Prachini Parishad had been overindulging in animal sacrifices for the sake of mundane benefit. And Narad Muni, he's so expert. He wanted to enlighten Maharaj Prachini Parishad, who in some sense was knowledgeable. But again, because of his divine inspiration, Narad Muni instructed Maharaj Prachini Parishad through a beautiful, beautiful allegorical story, that of King Puranjana. This Puranjana was an allegory. Pura means fort and Jana means a resident. And Jana, in one sense, also means a person who is trying to enjoy. So Puranjana is one who is trying to enjoy the fort. So King Puranjana, he had his kingdom, but he was not happy with his kingdom. And to find happiness, he started roaming around. And Prabhupada very beautifully describes in this fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, that this King Puranjana had such unlimited desires for sense enjoyment, he travelled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. So, he is now trying to draw the attention of Maharaj Prachini Parishad. This is another expertise of a devotee. Many of the devotees are very expert at telling stories. Right? If you quote verses from Bhagavad Gita often, sleep, Nidra Devi, especially, is merciful on us. Or we attract her more than ever. But some devotees are very expert. They tell stories. And Narad Muni was no less of an expert. He started telling a story. Because when you have a story beginning with, there was a dog, immediately everyone relates. So now King Kali Yuga, dogs you can relate to better. But at the time of Maharaj Prachini Parishad, they could relate better to kings. So there was this king. And Prabhupada very beautifully describes that our hippie movement is following very much the footsteps of this King Puranjana. Hippies, many of the hippies, they are from very rich aristocratic families. But they are not at all happy. They give up their aristocratic lifestyle and they live in the ghettos. And they loiter from one place to another, try one drug after another. So that was what Maharaj Puranjan was trying, maybe in a more polished manner. But the problem was, he was not at all happy. Tatala saikete, bari bindu sama, suta bita, ramani samaje. The Govindadas Vidyapati says, that material sense gratification with society, friendship and love is herein compared to a drop of water falling on a desert. When a drop of water falls on a desert, what happens? It increases your thirst, but doesn't quench your thirst. Or sometimes the example of sea water is giving. Ocean of sea water, but of no use in quenching thirst. Right? It just increases your thirst if you have sea water. So then he continues with the allegory of Puranjana, how he was not at all happy and how he landed in this Varsha to the south of Himalayan mountains, which he was referring to as Bharat Varsha. And there he found a beautiful lady, whom he sometimes mistook for goddess of fortune, sometimes mistook for goddess Saraswati, and sometimes wanted her to pretend to be goddess of fortune because he wanted to enjoy like Narayan, unfortunately. Prabhupada explains, so this is the nature of the living entity. He's wandering. Brahmane Brahmita Karna Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. He's just wandering. King Puranjan was wandering from place to place and he landed in Bharat Varsha. Very fortunately. But what he did in Bharat Varsha? He tried to imitate the West. So he went and he found this beautiful lady and tried to enjoy her. And then there's this long story how he enjoyed with her for 100 years, etc., etc. And by the end of this allegory, Maharaj Parishini Parishad, even without being directly instructed, his eyes opened. Yes, this is about me. This is Krishna, is about me. So this is the expertise of a devotee. So it is always possible. And Prabhupada here especially emphasizes that a devotee, by very nicely engaging his own proclivities in Krishna's service, rather by working in the spirit of devotion. So he himself works in the spirit of devotion. Not that he tries to make others work in the spirit of devotion. Note this very carefully. Rather by working in the spirit of devotion, a devotee should engage others in all sorts of activities. So when we are in fire, anyone who comes in contact with us will be burnt. But if we are simply trying to burn others, they will all run away. And as Radhanath Swami Maharaj often says, a happy devotee is the best preaching. Because when a devotee is happy, everyone is inspired. They come and ask. So we have to really understand this teaching of Krishna. That these teachings are extremely applicable for oneself. And by doing the greatest benefit to oneself, one will do the greatest benefit to others. Janma sarthaka kari kari parapkar. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed. Anyone who is born in this land of Bharatvarsh, he should do the greatest benefit to others by first doing benefit to himself. Very interesting story of Tukara Maharaj. Tukara Maharaj, he was always absorbed in chanting the names of the Lord. In fact, that is the most powerful way of being in contact with fire. Chanting out the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada used to say that one should be always chanting the holy names. One should be always remembering Krishna. Even a moment spent without remembering the Lord is the greatest tragedy in life. So if we are always in contact with the holy name, we are in fire. Others will be fired up. So Tukara Maharaj was like that. He was always absorbed. And any obstacle that would come his way, he would treat it as Lord Vitthal's mercy. And because he was in that mood, he was able to carry his wife, who was pretty skeptical about his attitude very often. But because of his mood, he was able to carry her. One of a very envious so-called poets at that time, Salo Malo, he was trying to somehow trap Tukara Maharaj. And he tried so many traps. He tried to get a big poet, a big scholar, learned scholar, go and defeat Tukara Maharaj, drown his scripture, drown his abhangas. And Tukara Maharaj would never protest. He would pray to the Lord and he would abide. But in all circumstances, the Lord protected him. Tukara Maharaj had absolutely no vengeance towards others. And every ulterior activity that was tried out by Salo Malo was to no avail. So finally, he decided to call Shivaji Maharaj. That this Tukaram is simply a sentimental fool. And Shivaji Maharaj, he sent a big troop with lot of jewelry, with gifts for Tukara Maharaj. And Tukara Maharaj, his wife was so happy, mad, in ecstasy. She started grabbing the jewelry, grabbing different garments. And Tukara Maharaj came there. He immediately stopped. This is, no. What is the use of all this? The real treasure in life is the Lord's holy name. So, he discarded all those wells. Shivaji Maharaj was watching from hiding. So, Tukara Maharaj never preached to Shivaji Maharaj. He was just watching from hiding. And then, Shivaji Maharaj, he was so impressed. He came out. He said, today you have taught me the lesson of detachment. I was trying to test you, but you have thoroughly passed the test. And in fact, I want to be your disciple. So, this was his mood. So, when there is genuine devotion, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. When there is genuine Krishna Shakti, it will definitely touch others' hearts. And that was Srila Prabhupada's conviction. Prabhupada was so many times asked to change the strategy when he went to the West. That adapt your lifestyle, adapt your eating habits. Prabhupada said no. In fact, Prabhupada was not willing to compromise on any philosophical tenet at all. But when it came to others, Prabhupada gave them enough time, enough space. He never forced them. In fact, for a long time, devotees were smoking. They didn't know smoking was bad. Devotees used to go around, boys and girls. Prabhupada wasn't lecturing all the time. He would lecture, but he wasn't micromanaging. But because Prabhupada's character was impeccable, because he was always absorbed in Krishna, gradually the devotees, they felt so inspired. They felt like surrendering their lives to Krishna. So what Srila Prabhupada is actually speaking about here, he lived personally. By working in the spirit of devotion, Prabhupada was working so hard translating. So once Brahmananda Prabhu asked, I mean, they really didn't care for what he was doing initially. But when they saw Prabhupada was toying so hard translating books, Brahmananda Prabhu asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, is there any help we can do for you? Prabhupada said, yes, maybe you can type my books. Maybe you can transcribe and type. Do you know typing? Brahman Prabhu said, yes, I know typing. And then Brahman Prabhu was wondering, how to help Prabhupada type. And then he went walking on the street and he found something called a dictaphone. It was labeled dictaphone. Immediately, he became inquisitive, went to the shop and found out the details of this dictaphone and he purchased it. And he went to Srila Prabhupada and offered it. And Prabhupada already knew how to operate it. Prabhupada was very expert. Brahmanand Prabhu had to go through the entire manual to find out how to make it work. Prabhupada just didn't even refer to the manual and was working with it with great ease. And then Brahmanand Prabhu explains that because Prabhupada was fired up in his mood of service, we naturally felt inclined to ask, can we help you? Can we serve? And then Krishna made arrangement, dictaphone. In one sense, without the dictaphone, we would have had so few books transcribed, translated, or written, right? The efficiency increased by so many orders of magnitude. But Srila Prabhupada just took it as Krishna's arrangement. He wasn't trying to manipulate. So we see practically so many examples of how Krishna arranges when there is determination. Krishna arranges everything that is required to spread his holy name around. And as Krishna is instructing here, all we need to do is keep working in the spirit of devotion. And in that way, engage common people in all sorts of activities and not just disrupt the minds of the ignorant men, which are already disrupted. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Is there a quick question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.